Hey everybody, it's What's Up with Coco Mulder, and it is about 2:15 in the afternoon here in Michigan, and it's about 50 degrees outside, and we literally had 2, 3, 4 inches of snow the other day, and the roads and everything are clear. So what's going on with Coco Mulder today is, again, a conversation around the mental health of our young people. And I continue to have this conversation around the well-being of the mental health of our young people. About 20 months ago, I stressed to family, I stressed to the community, the importance of having conversations with young people around their mental health. And why am I talking about that? Well, it just happened here in Michigan. We just had our very first mass shooting in a public high school. And I know people, this is an American thing, right? This is not happening anywhere else in the world but here in America. And here in Michigan, folks love their guns. And I'm not saying it's any different anywhere else, but here in particular, folks love their guns. And if I'm lying, I'm flying. Now, what's interesting about this conversation is a couple days ago, a young man came into school, and the details around this whole situation are just sketchy at best. It's very sad. It's very disappointing. There were some red flags that were ignored. These young people here are holistically, because we do have the ability for kids to go out of district, and their districts who have open districts. So these kids are intertwined among each other. So if your district is open and you have room, then kids can leave their district and go to school in other districts. And so a lot of these kids have multiple relationships with kids outside of their own home districts where they actually go to school. My son in particular, he has friends that go to 9 different high schools. They either are playing baseball together, basketball together, bowl together, grew up together, and they've just, you know, families have moved into different districts and all that kind of stuff. So having said that, we just had our very first mass shooting in a school, and if it's more than one person in a school, it's a mass shooting, you all. And this young man happened to go to school in a rural school district. The media would have you think that it's holistically close to Detroit, when in fact it's not. I don't know why the media, you know, throws that out there. Oh, it's 45 minutes away from Detroit. And in fact, it is definitely not 45 minutes away from Detroit. And Detroit has nothing to do with this situation. And so the media throwing that out there really just burned my britches. Or how they're making reference to the city of Pontiac. This happened in Oxford, Michigan. And I don't know the story behind this young person. I don't know what he was dealing with. But what I do know is that these young people are communicating with each other, and they know more about this situation than the law knew. Like, these kids, that's the difference between how I was raised and how these kids are raised. We didn't have access to social media when we were growing up, and so we didn't have the in and out day-to-day access to the lives of each other every minute on the minute. And these kids have access to one another, social media content, regards of each other and what's going on in each other's schools and all that kind of stuff on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour basis. And as a psychologist, right, it is very important for people to get that you have to know what is really going on in your child's life. And I stressed on my Facebook today and my social media content today that people process traumatic events differently. People see things traumatically differently. And if you are not talking to your child, and you don't have to have this long, drawn out conversation every single day, but you do have to assess, do a simple assessment, do a simple check in with your family members, especially these teenagers, especially these young adults who are in a situation that is completely different than how you and I were raised. It is serious. And young people have to be heard. I don't know what this little boy was thinking. I don't know what the group of young people was thinking that was in his group, that we are now finding out that there was way more to this situation and nobody thought to take it serious. And that's just my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion. But as a parent, if my kid came home and said, "Ma, hey, this is what's happening at school and I am not comfortable with it," okay, I'm gonna have a conversation with the school myself, because I was in the school system for a long time and I am so grateful to be that one adult in the school where kids felt comfortable coming to me to let me know what was getting ready to go down in the school, whatever that may have been. It could have just been a fight, or, you know, a kid had an upset with another kid, but they felt comfortable enough to have enough courtesy to come and say, "Hey, Miss Coco, let me tell you, this is about to go down because this is what happened in the neighborhood over the weekend." Okay? So here you have this young man who, for whatever reason, made the decision, the poor decision, to go to school and use a gun to take the lives of his classmates. And we are in a situation where we've now had to close down schools as a result of taking serious the threats that have been perpetrated across social media. And it's, I am holistically happy that the school districts are taking this serious and are not ignoring the fact that there has been a thought that there may have been other opportunities for shootings to happen at other schools and other districts, okay? So what do we do? Like, what happens now? What do you as a parent do? What do you as a school district do? What do you as a social worker or psychologist or trauma-informed individual do? A conversation has to occur. Communication has to occur, because to ignore it, you'll find yourself in the same situation we are in 4 days ago. I could not believe it. My son got in a car, and on my way to pick him up from school, I'm seeing police everywhere, and I'm thinking to myself, what is going on? Not to say that anything was happening in particular at his school, but that tells you that the district was on high alert. And when my baby got into the car, he says, "Mommy, there was a shooting at Oxford High School." And I am like, what? So it's now Thursday. For 2 days, we have been in a communication, in a conversation. Like, he has friends who, because he has had training and development, he knows what trauma-informed care looks like. He knows how to have conversations with his friends and his peers. He's like, "Ma, this is the things that the kids are talking about. Ma, did you know? Hey, Ma, let me tell you what's going on with this. Hey, did you know that one of the schools targeted was blah, blah, blah?" So these kids are talking. These kids are communicating. And I don't know what the adults in these kids' lives are doing, but I will assure you that if you're not communicating with your kids, then they are communicating with their peers. And what you don't want to happen is for those peers to be giving out the wrong kind of information. Okay? The wrong kind of information. And as I mentioned before, everybody processes trauma and traumatic experiences differently. And that if you are a person who really does not know how to have these conversations, then there's opportunities for you to pick up the phone and call a crisis hotline. There's an opportunity for you to pick up the phone and you don't even have to talk to anybody on the phone. You can just text and somebody will communicate with you back and forth via text. These opportunities are definitely there, and it's up to us, right, as the adults in these kids' lives, to go ahead and communicate to them on how to assess themselves and those around them, because we are not experts at this when it happens in real time. I commend the police department, the sheriff department, those EMTs, those medevac individuals who had to fly in and take bodies out. I commend the work. I commend the students who followed through on doing what needed to be done in a situation. And I'm telling you, when we were kids, we didn't have this situation where you had to practice on how to get out of a building in case there was a active shooter. And those kids did exceptionally well getting out of the building to safety. So what happens? The communication after the fact is what's important. What are you putting in place at these schools? What are you instituting at these schools? Do you have a team ready to go into the schools to be there for them? Because you know what? When you're in it, you are in a fight or flight situation. Your brain is processing differently. Because kids went to school with each other on Monday and they're having a funeral for that same kid on Friday. Kids went to school to learn, to have a good time, to just be teenagers. And then they walked away in a whole different situation. And so this is where trauma-informed care comes in. This is where your social workers and your school psychologist and your trauma-trained individuals come into place. And trauma training does not mean work in a hospital. No, you can be trauma-trained and be a teacher. You can be trauma-trained and be a principal. You can be trauma-trained and be a lunch lady. You can be trauma trained and be a service officer. You can be trauma trained and be the custodian. Because being trauma trained means you are aware, you are paying attention, you are being there for somebody else when they don't even know that they need you to be there. And yes, there are professionals that you can hire and you can have on site, and as you should, as I would if I were still in the school, I would be demanding that you make an adjustment and a shift. And it's not just the impact of the kids at Oxford. It's the impact of the kids in the community of Oakland County. In the whole community. This is when a whole community has to stand together to make sure that these young people are okay. Because as I started, these kids are intertwined with each other's communities in some form or fashion. And if you don't believe me, ask your kids. If you don't believe me, ask the teachers who are connected to other teachers and districts who are going through it with those teachers too. You can't detach yourself from a traumatic event that is happening. It is impacting the whole community. These kids have siblings. Could you imagine being the parent of the child who didn't make it? Four of those babies didn't make it. And then there's still others fighting for their lives. This is an American problem, right? And I'm not, on here to talk about the issues of the world. No. I'm just talking about what's happening here with us right now. And that some way, somehow, some changes have got to be made. Because the urban communities are not the only ones that need to protect their kids as they walk through the door. This was in the suburbs, in the rural community, and it happened. And it was dismissed personally, and that's my personal personal opinion. Every child needs to be protected. Something went wrong in the safety plan at that school. And a way to prevent that from happening is for all districts to take a look at their safety plans and make sure that this does not happen again. Because the threat is real. If it's a threat, it's real to me. And I don't want my child or my son or my daughter to have to be worried about a possible threat that ends up being real because it was shared and it was ignored and this is what happened. And again, that's my opinion and I'm entitled to it. So hold it to my head and not to my heart because I'm the mother of a teenager too. And that's what's so with Coco Mulder. So if you are a person out here who has young people and you don't know how to have that conversation, it's okay. And you need a resource here in Michigan, please feel free to reach out to me at 248-659-7418. And I can connect you to the resources that you need. If you need a team to come in and train your staff, we have that ability as well. If your team wants trauma training, if your team needs that in your community, there are community champions who are willing to come in and give you the training you need. Because all these young people need is for somebody to connect them to themselves. So as I mentioned, if you are a person who processes trauma differently, you can always reach out to the crisis hotline. You can always reach out and call. And here, if you are a person who lives in Michigan, these are Michigan crisis hotline. You can dial 1-800-231-1127, or you can reach out at 1-844-446-4225. That number, 844-446-4225, is a number that you can actually call and speak to somebody. Or if you're not comfortable speaking to somebody, you can actually text and somebody who is trained will text back and forth with you. We have to give people access to the support that they need. And that's what's so with Coco Mulder. Again, I wish everybody well. Please, please be mindful. Do a random act of kindness because you never know what somebody is going through.